This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back. 106.7 The Fan. Let's go around the NFL with our buddy Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports' Eye on NFL blog. Ryan, I want to start in the NFC East with Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys. First of all, what is the latest in this impossible-to-understand situation as to whether or not he'll be suspended? And secondly, if he is suspended for the duration of the several games he's supposed to be, are the Cowboys dead in the water?
So as it stands, it sounds like today, possibly by 4 p.m., that the Fifth Court will have a ruling on the latest development. So the NFLPA filed a restraining order with that Fifth Circuit, and that is basically in response to the Fifth Circuit vacating a decision last month by a Texas judge that granted an injunction, was basically meant that Elliott was allowed to play. So as it stands right now, he is not allowed to play. We'll wait today. Hopefully by 4 p.m. to find out whether a restraining order has been issued, which means in English that Elliott will be allowed to play. And if he can't, and if this six game starts now, that's good news for the Redskins, as you know, because they're up on the schedule in a few weeks. But I don't think it necessarily spells an end to the Cowboys' season. They're 2-3, and they haven't played great football. But I think Dak has to play a little better. He hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been the guy we saw last year. And then the players around him have to play better, obviously, without Elliott. But more importantly, I think the defense has to do something. And they've sort of been MIA in recent weeks. And taken all together, you know, that explains in large part the 2-3 start. But I think you can overcome the loss of a running back in general. Elliott's clearly one of the best 2 or 3 running backs in the league. But even still, if he's out for a month and a half or so, they have to find other ways to get better. And I think more importantly, it starts on defense.
Ryan, I always try to figure out what to believe and what not to believe when it comes to the NFL, right? Like, what sample's the most meaningful? Kansas City's the best team in the league. They looked terrible this week. Couldn't stop the run against Pittsburgh, et cetera. But this whole week was topsy-turvy. Do we know anything yet about this NFL season? I feel like nobody's great. I feel like a bunch of teams are still pretty good, but everybody's got some flaws. I feel like we don't really have some of these 14-2 bound squads that we've had maybe in years past. What do we know at this point?
Here's how topsy-turvy it is. If you woke up from a coma on Sunday and you watched the Giants play, you would be convinced they were a Super Bowl team. They were without half of their best players. Eli Manning suddenly looked like he was, you know, it was 10 years ago. So it's a weird season. I feel like we say this every year around week 6 or 7 that things are, there's parity around the league. But this year more than previous, it feels that way. And it's hard to put your finger on exactly who is good. I mean, the Cowboys, excuse me, no, the Patriots aren't the Patriots. That defense is terrible there. On paper and, you know, just kind of briefly watching the games, you feel like Carson Wentz and the Eagles are maybe the team to beat in the NFC, but I'm willing to wait one more week, and if they have some sort of crazy game where they don't play well, then you're back at the square one with that. So it's been nuts. Someone asked me the other day for my top 5 teams in the NFC. I had the Eagles in there, obviously, but I had the Redskins in there. I don't even think I had the Seahawks, a team that's played better recently, but the Rams were in there, which is another insane thing to say when you think about the Jeff Fisher era finally being over. So the long answer, Danny, is it's impossible to sort of predict what's going on. I'll be honest, I do appreciate the fact that there are no undefeated teams left and that it seems like any team can win on any given day. But in terms of trying to make sense of it, that's almost an impossible order.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports on Grant and Danny. Can the Packers win without Aaron Rodgers?
No. I like Brett Hundley. I think he has a chance to be a pretty good quarterback, but that's not going to happen overnight. And even though that division is sort of up in the air, Matthew Stafford's the only real sort of quarterback that's healthy in that division. The Lions aren't playing great. The Vikings with Case Keenum, who could make a case as the best backup quarterback in that division, maybe in the NFL, is they're playing pretty well. But Brett Hundley's an interesting guy. 3 years in, not a lot of experience. He's not like Aaron Rodgers coming off the bench after he sat behind Favre for 3 years, so that's a different situation there. And behind him is Joe Callahan. So they're thin at quarterback, but whatever you do, don't ask Mike McCarthy about Colin Kaepernick because he does not want to talk about that.
Yeah, he didn't seem to want to talk about that. We're going to talk about what he said about that next on the program, Ryan, after we're finished with this interview. But you can follow our buddy Ryan Wilson at RyanWilson_07 on the old Twitterverse. Ryan, agree or disagree with this sentence that I'm about to utter? If Philadelphia beats the Redskins this coming Monday night, they will win the division.
Danny, I don't like yet. I mean, 6-1 puts you in pretty good space. Redskins will be 3-3. But again, it's so early. I actually like the way the Redskins are playing. I know people were complaining in D.C. about barely beating the 49ers. But again, this league is sort of in the middle league, middle of the road league, in terms of everyone being not too different than each other. My initial instinct is to say yes, the Eagles will win the division because of that, but I'm not sleeping on the Redskins, having in terms of mailing it in because they filled it 3-3 and lost to, you know, one of the best teams in the league.
Ryan Wilson on Grant and Danny spinning us all around the NFL. You mentioned the Giants game over the Broncos. I had basically counted them out. 0-5 means you don't make the playoffs. But without Odell Beckham Jr., was that just kind of one last gasp? Or do you think this team could get warm and actually be a factor? Now, they've had some of those epic late season runs where they rip off 8 out of 9 or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's right. I feel like more it was a last gasp, like they went up for air one last time before sinking straight to the bottom. I think they found out they could use Evan Ingram more, which is something they had trouble doing early in the season, their first-round tight end that didn't get a lot of looks in the first 5 weeks or so, but he played well in Denver. I don't think you can sustain this. I'm not sold on McAdoo, the head coach. He seems to have lost control of the team, and that's not necessarily a new development. It seems like it's been brewing for weeks and maybe even going into the last season at some point. But, 1-5, suspect offensive line, Eli Manning not playing like he once did. The defense played well again. They had dipped a little bit in recent weeks. I can't envision a situation where they get on such a streak that they're even in the conversation in late December.
So Grant's been making fun of me, Ryan, throughout the season because I kept putting Pittsburgh in my power rankings because I kept saying I know that they're good. They just won't play like it. And then they had like that terrible loss a couple weeks ago where Ben Roethlisberger threw a million picks. This is the Pittsburgh team I thought we were getting, the one that just throws the ball to Antonio Brown and lets him do things and hands it to Le'Veon Bell and lets him do things and a defense that's frisky. That was a really impressive win going into Arrowhead this past week. Is Pittsburgh now turning the corner, or are we going to be back to this muddled nonsense that they were doing early on in the season?
Two things, Danny. I think, first of all, they got away from giving Le'Veon Bell the ball. That Jacksonville game you pointed to was a huge example of that. Yep. Le'Veon missed the preseason. He was holding out and all that. So maybe he's just now getting into form. But they fed him a lot in Kansas City, and Kansas City didn't have an answer. And part of me also wonders, is the Pittsburgh to the Chiefs what the Patriots are to the Steelers, and that they can never seem to beat them, even though on paper they're a much better team? Because that Chiefs team has dominated people for the first 5 weeks, and I didn't recognize them when I was watching that game Sunday, at least until the last quarter. And I just wonder if it's one of those weird sort of things where the teams match up perfectly, where it works out for one and not the other, no matter how many times they play or what their record is. That said, I think if you continue to lean on Le'Veon Bell, that would solve a lot of the problems. You don't need Roethlisberger, 35 years old, throwing the ball 50 times a game. And as you mentioned, the defense is young and exciting, and they're going to get better as they get more experience. But they have to continue to build on this. They've been up and down. I mean, you lose to the Bears and to the Jaguars. There are reasons for concern.
You mentioned the Rams. They have a plus 41 point margin at 4-2. Only the Eagles at 5-1 have a better point margin, 43, in terms of some of the peripherals. They look legit. Is Sean McVay the coach of the year right now?
Yeah, either him or maybe Todd Bowles for what he's able to pull off with the Jets. But seriously, I think so. And I think two things. It points to that team buying into what McVay's selling. And it's sort of weird to think about a guy who's 31 or 32 having an entire organization buy into the things he's preaching to them in the wake of losing someone like Jeff Fisher, who was there forever, sort of the institutional guy, both L.A., St. Louis, and then Tennessee before that, who had never won anything with the Rams and seemed impossible to get rid of. But they did, and it just points to the fact that sometimes change is a good thing. It sounds cliched sometimes, but you have to get the right guy. McVay, by all accounts, has been amazing. Jared Goff, who's in his second year, is playing much better, and you could argue that as a rookie, they're going to struggle. So maybe that has something to do with it. It isn't solely on Fisher, but Ty Gurley looks rejuvenated. And the defense is clearly as good as it's always been. So there's a lot to like there, and they're the best team in that division, which sounds insane to say, but here we are given how well they played and how the other teams behind them have struggled for various reasons.
Ryan, before the season, I thought the Saints might have a chance to be one of those fringe playoff teams in that 8-8 kind of muddle, you know, at the end of the year. They didn't look real good in the first couple of weeks. No shame in losing to Minnesota, who's good, and the Patriots, of course, were pretty good. But quietly, three straight wins, a couple of those games, the defense was opportunistic and pretty strong. I mean, this past week, you know, a million points got scored against Detroit, but is New Orleans okay? Are they finally out from under some of those terrible decisions and bad contracts of the last few years?
Yeah, so the defense, as you point out, was a big issue in not only last season, but the first few weeks of this season. They're 3-2, and I think this is the first time they've been above 500 at this point in the season since 2013. So that tells you how long their sort of gradual slide into mediocrity has been. And I do think they are turning the corner, and they're in a division where Carolina's 4-2, but coming off a loss against the Eagles, where they looked okay, but not great, where they have a chance to make some noise. They're also in the same division with the Falcons, who have all sorts of questions after an embarrassing loss to Jay Cutler and the Dolphins in Atlanta, and they have the Patriots coming up. And then you have to worry about Jameis Winston's health in Tampa Bay. So I think they're positioned to make some noise if they continue to do the things they've done, and that defense plays as well as it has recently. Interestingly, the Saints had their first turnover last week. I think they had three of them by the time it was over, and they still scored 50-something points on the Lions. So that's a good sign if you're looking for another indication of things maybe going the right direction.
At Ryan Wilson _07 for more football content from him on Twitter. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. Always great on the show.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. You heard Ryan point out that Mike McCarthy does not like being asked about Colin Kaepernick. We'll play the audio of what he said when asked if the Packers should consider signing Kaepernick. And we'll get into whether or not he's right about them not needing him next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.